Father, I thank you, Lord, as we share the message this morning. The entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Let our hearts be tender towards you to receive encouragement from your word, even on here this morning, in Jesus' name. In the afternoon, wherever your people are, in all places of your dominion, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with everyone, in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, you know, the key word here is believe. Hallelujah. So believe. Now, believe involves action. You know, faith with action is what we call believing. Now, faith and a promise, believing through the process. That's going to be a message, a quick one today, just to encourage us. There are several key words in this title. You have belief, you have faith, you have the promise, you have the process. There's a lot of things in that short title. Praise God. Let me start with the promise. Well, what is the promise for you that you are believing God for? Well, there's a lot of promises. You know, and some we take out of the word of God for our situation. We've taught on that multiple times for you to always find a promise in the scriptures concerning whatever it is that you are believing for. You may remember the faith specs. And sometimes it's a point blank something the Lord or the Holy Spirit said to you, either as an individual or said to you, to us as a group. You know, whatever the promise is, we need to focus and zero in on that this morning. The particular promise that is uppermost in your heart right now. Remember what we've said about promise many times. It is not a promise for you unless you know that it was promised. It's not a promise if you don't know that it was promised, you know. And it's only when you know that someone made that promise to you that it becomes a promise. If you didn't know about it, then it's not a promise. So we must know it. We know it either by reading the scriptures or hearing the Holy Spirit tell it to us. Praise God. And there are some promises that God has given us in this room. You know, over the last year or so, and even this month, the promise of rest and restoration. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, rest and restoration. We see that even restoration has the first part of it being rest. When you are in a state of rest, you can accomplish more. The Lord can accomplish more, and he wants to bring that to us this month. So, you know, that's the promise. You figure out what it is, the promise that you believe in God for. You know, sometimes we believe in God for healing. There are people that we've been praying for in this room. You know, believe God for their healing. That's a promise toward that. I will restore health unto you, Jeremiah 30:17, and I will heal you of all your wounds. You know, we're believing God for that. And they said, well, blessed is the man that considereth the poor. You know, Psalm 41, he said, the Lord will remember him in the time of his trouble. Yeah, the Lord will save him from death, will keep him alive. And they will recover him from the bed of languishing. These are promises, point blank in the scriptures. You know, and make his bed in his sickness. The Lord will be merciful unto him. Hallelujah. So, yeah, there may be other promises that you are believing God for. We've had some general promises that the Lord made to us as a group. Promise of emerging. Promise of experiencing a quantum leap, which is rapid response. And there are many of these things. And so we know about the promise. But what about faith? I mean, faith is a subject that everybody should know a lot about. If you've been on this platform for a while, we talk about it all the time, you know, and there's really nothing we can accomplish with the Lord without faith. For without faith, the scripture says in Hebrews 11 and 6, it is impossible to please the Lord. There's a few things in the Bible, very few, where the word impossible is used in connection with that thing. Well, one thing here is pleasing the Lord. To please the Lord, we are told we gotta have faith. And if we don't have faith, you cannot please him. Well, Enoch, by faith, he walked with God. And he had his testimony, you know, that he pleased God. That was before his translation. God took him because he pleased the Lord. And without faith, we know it is impossible to please the Lord. So he was a man of faith. Walked in faith. Praise God. So we understand faith. By now we should understand how faith actually works. You got to see a promise in the scriptures concerning faith. Or remember the word which the Holy Spirit spoke to you. One way or another, it must be based on the word of God. Something that God has said. Hallelujah. And we quoted Lamentation 3 and 37 multiple times. Now you cannot just say something and expect it just to come to pass when the Lord has not commanded it. But if it is something the Lord already commanded, well, that's the quickest way for you to get it to come to pass. Find what he has already commanded. Latch onto it and begin to echo the same thing. Hallelujah. The angels were told that are strong, those strong angels, they hearken to the voice of God's word. That's Psalm 103:20. I'm just reminding us of these basic principles of how you go through the process. And while you are repeating his word, those angels will hearken to it, go into action on your behalf. So we know that, okay? And then you be persuaded that God can do it for sure. Embrace it for the particular situation. Begin to confess the victory even before you see it. So we've taught that multiple times, you know. And then there is the process. We've spoken on that a few times as well. I'll bring it all together today. You know, we got to own our faith journey through the process. The process is very important, sometimes even more so than just the end result. You know, something that God is bringing out and allowing us to experience through the process. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't look, you know, good because the process may be drawn out, long drawn out. Listen to this in Habakkuk chapter 2 and let's read verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, it won't tarry too long. It's coming. Now, the vision, he said, is yet for an appointed time. Well, when the time of the promise draws near, though, God will begin to do things, orchestrate things, you know. Stephen, he was preaching just before he was stoned to death. And you might know this story. Powerful, powerful sermon in Acts chapter 7. that he preached, how he brought the story of the children of Israel together and just brought it all the way down from Abraham and everybody, all the way to just bring it to their time, you know. But here's what he said, you know, you're talking about, you know, all the things that happened, Jacob, Israel, Joseph, all of them and so forth. Jacob went down to Egypt and died, he said. He and our fathers and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a son of money, you know, from the sons of Hamor. You know, he talked about all these things, the father of Shechem. And now, so verse 17 of Acts 7 says, but when the time of the promise drew near, you know, so there was a time appointed for the promise. And God, you know, speaking to Abraham many years, you know, many, many years before that time, he told him something. He said, know of a surety, you know, that this will happen to your seed. That they will go down to a place and they'll be tormented for many years, 400 years. Afterward, I will bring them out with a high hand and I will punish that nation, you know, that, you know, did that to them. I will punish them and I will bring them out. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said, that nation, you know, when I bring them out of there, they'll come out with great substance. I mean, the Lord told him all these things. Let's read it in Genesis 15, you know, and verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abraham. And lo, an aura of great darkness fell upon him. And the Lord said unto him, know of a surety that thy seed, Abraham didn't have a child at this time, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. You know, and thou and shall go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. I mean, these were promises, the Lord telling him of the future, but also some promises embedded in there that I will bring them out and you yourself will live to a good old age. Well, they were there for a little over 400 years. And Stephen, it's going back to Stephen's lesson here, or his preaching in Acts 7 and 17 says, well, but when the time of the promise drew near. Well, what promise? Well, we just read some of it. When that time drew near, what did God do? Well, God then began to do some things so that the promise might come to pass, which he said. You know, he said, look, when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose, which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with all our kindred and evil entreated our fathers so that they cast out their young to the end that they might not live. And he began to tell them all the things that happened. But the key lesson here is when the time of the promise drew near. So from the time the promise was given, Abraham had to know that it was a promise that was given. Until the time of the promise itself drew near, the Lord in this case said, your seed will be there for 400 years and so on. And, you know, it's a long drawn out process. I mean, many, many years, hundreds of years, you know, and Habakkuk says, well, the vision, or you might say the promise, is for a time yet appointed. And at the end, it shall speak. You know, what does it mean that it shall speak? Well, you see clearly. It shall come to pass. There are many scriptures that says, you know, that it might come to pass that which was spoken by the mouth of the prophet, then such and such began to happen so that it might come to pass. Now, the process from the promise to the coming to pass thereof is sustained by your believing. You know, when faith sees the promise afar off, believing is what will get you there. We've talked about that before. Just want to bring all these things together today. But there is a process. That's a process. Let's zero in on some promise right now. As I said to you at the beginning of this month, that by the grace of God, I will be reminding us as we go through this month of this promise of entering into our rest. That's a promise for this month. And the beginning of months, the Lord said it will be. So, let me remind us that the Lord promised that. But there is a process. There was something that Christ knew, you know, before the world began. He knew it. And, but there was a process that he had to take. I mean, his was the longest of all processes because he had been there from the beginning of the world, even before the world began. He knew what he had to do. I mean, you know, God knew and foresaw the fall and everything, made provision, you know, and all of that. And, you know, Christ knew that, you know. And he said in John chapter 8, you know, and verse 42, when he was talking with the Jews, how that, you know, he was in the beginning with God and how he came out, you know, from God. He said, look, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Now that came out of myself, but he sent me, proceeded out of God. That word, God knew, formed a body for him. I mean, before the world began, we're told the Lamb was slain before the world even began. You know, and so he knew what he had to do, but did he ever have to wait for it? I mean, there was a long process of waiting. He had to wait through all of that. I mean, even through all the various kingdoms that were coming and going and so forth. Still had to wait. He waited, waited, and waited. At some point in time, he saw the Roman kingdom come into play. Well, yeah, looked like, you know, that they had some kind of a model. That was okay. They were wicked, but at least their model was install their kingdom rather than carry everybody away captive. All the other kingdoms before that carried everybody away captive. God didn't like that one. Now, when the Romans came in, they didn't carry anybody away captive. They took over the place, colonized the place, installed their own kingdom, installed their own government, and everybody wanted to be a Roman citizen. And the Lord said, yeah, oh, that's good. You know, show them, you know, what they've seen and come and show them what they can look forward to. He had to wait for all of that. I'm also, you know, even when he came, born as a baby. I mean, he could have just come like Adam. You know, Adam came, and when Adam was formed, he was a grown man instantly. God put in him, you know, the fullness of all the knowledge that he need. God breathed into him the breath of God, and he contained a full package. And he was an instant son of God. Didn't need to learn anything. He knew everything. You know, he just knew it. Didn't need to learn any language. Didn't need to learn how to sit, or crawl, or walk, or all this stuff. He was just instant. Son of God, grown already, had the knowledge of God, God put inside of him. But Jesus, oh no, not so. He had to go through a process, you know, his mother Mary had to go through, you know, 9 months of that pregnancy, he had to be born. It's like a regular baby. Herod at the time trying to kill all the babies and so on. I mean, his life was in jeopardy constantly for the first couple of years. God had to even tell Joseph, carry the baby and his mother into Egypt and run away. You know, I mean, I don't go through all of these things. Yet he knew, and God knew what he was sent for when at age 12. And they were looking for him. He said, look, don't you know I must be about my father's business? You know, I mean, yeah, he knew what he had to do, but he had to wait. And not only that, age 12 wasn't good enough, you know. He had to wait. God said, no, not ready. You know, he had to grow up to be 30 years old. He was going to be called a rabbi, and nobody was going to call you a rabbi at age 12. You know, their tradition and their customs, you had to be a certain age, like 30 and so on, and you respect it. And he had to wait all those years. I mean, can you just imagine? He already knew he's coming for the sons of the kingdom. He knew that, but he couldn't get them. He couldn't do anything about it for years. Well, and so finally, he knew it. Figured out, well, am I going to get some of these guys together, be training them and so on. You know, he had to go through the process. You know, had to go through the process. So he went through all of it. And he also knew that the cross was ahead of him. Now, he knew everything. He knew it's coming out of there. The commandment I've received of my father to lay down my life and to take it again. No man takes it from me. I lay down willingly. And I take it up again. And you can destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. He knew all those things, but he had to wait for the process. Had to go through the process. And the whole time that he's going through that process, he's encouraging himself with the word of God and declaring it. Destroy this temple. And in 3 days, raise it again. He's speaking faith into himself. You know, but he had to go through. He can't jump the process. There's no way. If Jesus didn't jump it, neither will you. You can't jump it. You're going to go through the process. Now, you might as well, you know, equip yourself for the journey to go through the process. Because one time the Lord said to Elijah, the journey ahead of you is too great. Get up and eat. And he did. Several hours go by, got him up again, eat again, because the journey is too great. Well, you got to equip and be equipped for the journey, which is what we are doing in these lessons. You know, the promise of God for rest and for restoration and for emerging and so forth. There's a process to it that we must go through. And if we don't go through the process, well, you keep going around in circles. You know, you got to go through the process. The kingdom of heaven is like unto someone that is climbing a ladder that has several flights of stairs. And the Lord showed me this one time. You know, it came to me like a parable, because I knew I love those parables. And you climb the first flight of stairs, and there's a little landing, and then another flight, and so forth. You get to that landing, you pick up some jewels or something, you know. And then when you think that you are there, you look up and there's more to climb. Oh my goodness, you got to climb the next set and pick something up. And as you climb, if you drop anything that you picked up, you got to go back and get it. You know, you cannot drop any of those things. It's like there's lessons along the journey that we're supposed to learn. If we do not acquire what we're supposed to acquire, you got to do it again. And sometimes people go through something more than once because they didn't quite acquire all of the lessons that they should have. So when we're going through, let's submit ourselves, you know, to the Lord to bring us through the process. And he'll do it one time. bring you through. Jesus himself, he went through it one time. Didn't have to go through it multiple times. You know, I told that he offered himself once, entered into the heaven itself. You have to do it multiple times, like all the other priests, high priests every year. Did it one time, finished it, and sat down. Done. Hallelujah. He said, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. It's finished. Now, but he had to go through. If he had missed anything, he would have had to go back and redo it. But that's, you know, it's the word of God. That can't be so perfect. But it was a lesson for us too that we have to go through. So the process that you are going through right now for what any particular, I mean, let's break it down. There is a global and incredible promise that the church of God is waiting for. Yeah, but let's break it down. I mean, you might think of, okay, say, what's the promise? Well, some people say, well, you know, we're waiting for the kingdom of God to arrive in full power. Some people say, well, we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Some people say, well, we're waiting for Jesus to come in the rapture. Some people say this and that. Whatever it is you say, well, let's break it down. This, you know, before you get there, you are still here. And you got to go through every day here, you know. And that's why Jesus, when he was praying, he prayed the prayer. And he said, Father, I pray not that you should take them from the world. John 17 and 15. Don't take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Now, if Jesus said, don't take them from the world, and he made that in the prayer, well, that's exactly the prayer that God's going to answer. You know, God's not taking you from the world, not just yet, at least. Not the moment you are saved. You know, you're not being taken from the world. You are going to be here. But there will be a process, and the Lord will preserve you from the evil. But there will be evil. So Jesus already said it in that prayer. If you break down that prayer, you will see that he's saying that evil is coming. But the Lord will preserve them through it. That's a prayer that he was praying. Now, so that evil may come in any form, shape or form. You may be going through a good time, and all of a sudden, boom, some loss, something bad happens. You know, you may lose your job. You may do this. You may do that. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, it's your means of, I mean, your income, your whatever it is, you know, that may just happen suddenly. But we have to deal with it. We got to go through. And sometimes it's everything is good, and all of a sudden, it might be a routine checkup that you went for. You didn't even know that it was really anything. And all of a sudden, you got the bad news. And now, you'll be subject to all kinds of things because they've discovered this thing. Even though you say, well, you know, but I don't, you know, really feel sick. Yeah, well, all of a sudden, you know, put you through all this stuff. But they found it and they're not going to let it go. And then all of a sudden your life's thrown upside down. Whereas you just a few days before, everything was well. You know, I mean, sometimes we may receive some bad news. You name it. You know, but in everything, there is a promise that God gives. Now, once you know that promise, your faith will see that promise as given. The process to get you to the end and the realization of that promise is called believing. Some people say trust him through the process. Well, I like the word believe because it's strong. You got to believe because it says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You got to believe. And that's going to be your key word, believe. Even people of the world, did you know that people of the world that don't even, I mean, not necessarily people of faith like we are, they like to use the word believe, you know, when they are really going after something. I've seen people that don't know the Lord like we do, that we use the word believe. They just believe. I mean, you know, athletes, everybody that's doing one thing or the other, just use that word anyhow. Believe. You know, I don't know what they're believing, whether they believe in, you know, themselves, believe in their ability, believe in, you know, whatever, but they like to use that word, you know, believe, to psych themselves up. You know, and then people talk about people believing in them or not believing in them. And if they find someone that can believe in them, then it encourages them. So, well, you know, my dad believed in me, my mom, you know, this person believed in me, my coach believed in me, or whatever, you know, and they keep on going. Everybody tends to use this word, you know, but we who are supposed to be called believers, don't let someone come in and steal your thunder. Believing belongs to us who are believers, you know. So don't let somebody else take that and then we ourselves can't do it. We need to believe. Every day, believe. While you're going through, believe. You know, the process, and you got to own your own journey. You cannot, you know, we got to take responsibility of owning that journey and turning it over to the Lord where we need His guidance. Owning it doesn't mean, you know, you cut Him out. It just means we take responsibility and you run your own race tactfully and you don't look at someone else's race. That doesn't mean anything. Their journey is different than yours. Everybody's journey is different. Just the same way as we have this different set of fingerprints, so is your journey. It's coded inside those fingerprints, you know. Only the Holy Ghost knows it. That's why palm readers try to figure it out, but they can't do it. You know, and but the Lord has got it coded in there. And yours is different than anybody else's. Your story may look similar, but it's unique. Hallelujah. All of us come into this world as points of light. And on God, you know, those who are ordained to eternal life, He'll protect that light. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the light that lightens every man that comes into this world. Once you come in there and you make contact with the Lord, especially, you know, He'll be, Holy Spirit is given to us to guide us through the rest of the process. The providence will be guiding us even before we come to the Lord. You know, you'll be doing stuff you don't even know. You know, you may not even know that you are right or wrong, but you're just doing stuff. You know, providence will keep you. And then you encounter the Lord, Holy Spirit, step in as the governor. Hallelujah. And then, you know, He'll begin to lead us. But, you know, He will train us that we must endure through the process. Many scriptures bear this out, and we've talked about it during adversity series and many of these things and so forth. Today, I just want to talk about this promise of rest and restoration through this beginning of months. This month, July, which is said, shall be a holy convocation unto you. You will do no servile work there. That means the devil not going to put any more of this stuff upon you. But you got to go through the process. The vision might be yet for an appointed time. But we got to go through the process. And there is a process that Jesus described. He said the kingdom of heaven, even, is like, you know, when someone should cast seed in the ground. You know, when you cast seed in the ground, you really don't know. He said, look, you don't know how the seed will grow. Let's read it in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. You know, but there's a process that seed must go through. You know, Jesus described that process in John chapter 12 and verse 24. He talked about that process. He said, verily I say unto you, verily, verily, actually, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, then it bringeth forth much fruit. Well, it's talking about himself, really. You know, but It's the process. The seed must die, must go through a process in the ground for some time. You know, and depending on what kind of seed it is, depending on, you know, how the soil is and other conditions and so forth, you know, the length of time that it would take for that seed to germinate and produce may vary. You know, but you got to wait for the process. You know, there's some things you may do while waiting, but you got to go through. God has put the, you know, the power, the blessing, he put it upon the seed. You know, let there be this seed, he said, bearing fruit within itself, the trees bringing seed. And he put those commandments in there from the beginning, but there's a process too. You can't do it too prematurely. While you're waiting, you must do some things. You know, certain things you can do, you know. You can weed out the weed that's around the thing you planted. You know, try to choke the life out of it. You can weed those things out. You can water it, make sure it has sunshine and so forth. Even before you plant, you break up your fallow ground and so on. But once you put the seed into the soil, you leave it alone. Nobody goes and digs it up from the soil and then, you know, just say, why is it growing? No, you leave it alone. It's going to grow. It's got the power within itself and it's going to happen. But the Lord already put it like that. You know, so when we got to put our faith in the Word of God. And as we're going through, that faith becomes an active action of believing every day. Believe. Remind yourself and remind your soul to believe. Just like David used to talk to his soul. Talk to yourself to say, believe. Yes. Jesus said, look, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. He said, if thou canst only believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So we talk about that verse all the time, but let's talk about the next verse after it. And straight away, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. You know, so you got to believe. I believe, you know, but there may be areas where your believing, you know, is not up to par. Well, then you got to ask the Lord to help you. And, you know, fellowship hours and fellowship time. And fellowship groups such as this may also help you. And this man cried out and he said, Lord, I believe. First, you got to declare that you believe. And then he said, Lord, well, you know, whatever else is left, you know, where I need help, help thou my own belief. But I believe. And sometimes Jesus always say, believest thou this? And I was talking to Martha. I said, do you believe this? Why was it important for Jesus to ask those kind of questions or make those statements around believing? Well, because he, you know, you need to show your faith. You need to show that you believe. You know, that's how it works. Well, the Lord says something, you believe it. You know, if it mixed with faith, you believe, but sometimes there's a process. Well, actually, there's always a process, but just so sometimes the process is longer. There's always a process. Always. No matter, you know, even if it's a rapid response, it's still a process. There's always a process. You know, and even in the beginning, we saw how things were. God demonstrated this for us. I mean, God could have created everything, you know. I mean, you know, he could have created everything and not allowed any chaos in there. But there was chaos. There's a lot of things that may have happened in there to bring that chaos at the beginning. I mean, it was chaos and things just didn't look quite right. And so he began to put it in order because he was trying to show us something, you know, and then sometimes our lives may have chaos. I mean, it looks like, you know, what we're believing for is say, look, you're believing for light, but darkness came. You're believing for plenty, but, you know, it's like you have a bag full of holes. You're believing for this and that. It's like the devil just come out against you in every which way. But look, you can learn to master, you know, mastering your faith growth journey. You know, it's a practice. You can master it. You know, there's a series I'm considering on teaching called Mastering, you know, Your Faith Journey or Faith Growth Journey, something like that. You know, you can actually become a master, you know, of this process, you know, like a subject matter expert in an area. You just master this thing. You know, it's not, I mean, we don't need to be babies all the time, tossed up and down with every wind of doctrine, every sleight of man. You know, we can actually, you know, be mature, you know, deal with strong meat and not just milk all the time. You know, have our senses exercised, practiced. We understand. We know these things. You know, Paul said, none of these things move me. He had mastered the process. He was a master. In fact, he called himself a master builder. You know, I mean, he mastered certain things. Look, we need to master certain things. And today's lesson is to help us master the process of believing, you know, while waiting. You got to master that process. Don't allow your minds to go up and down. The mind will go up and down. That's what it does. But you got to get a hold of it. Sometimes people of the world will say, get a hold of yourself. You know, you got to get a hold of your mind. Get a hold of your mind. There's a scripture for that, you know. It's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. You know, Paul was talking about, you know, a few verses before that, I was talking about this anxiety and all these things and so on. Worrying, you know, don't do that. Just, you know, pray, you know, and put your supplications before the Lord, but wrap it around with thanksgiving as well. And he said, the peace of God that passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds. You know, how do you have peace, you know, even when the answer hasn't come? Philippians 4 and, I mean, chapter 6, I mean, verses 6 and 7. Well, the peace of God, you know, peace through the process while you're waiting. You know, you've prayed about it, you've committed it to his hands, you've thanked him for it, and then you have peace through the process. And then God wants us, there's part of the mastering that God wants us to actually do, where he wants you to do some things, you know, for yourself. It's not everything that, you know, the Lord needs to do for us. You know, you got to do some things for yourself. You know, when children are babies, you know, the parent has to do everything for the baby. Everything. The baby doesn't know how to do anything other than just cry. You know, so parent has got to do everything. You know, as the child grows, the parent will be teaching the child, look, I don't have to do everything for yourself. When you fall, you get up. Before, when you fall, you have to pick them up. Well, sometimes you let them fall and then get up. And they make a mess, you know, so clean it up. You know, when they were babies and they made a mess, you rush there to clean it up. Well, after a while, you say, well, you got to clean up your mess. Yeah, I mean, you know, you start to, you know, teach them these things through life. You know, some things, you call empowerment, you know, and you begin to train them to do these things. Well, the same thing with the Lord, how he deals with his children. You know, sometimes the Lord wants you to clean up the mess. You know, of course, we always need the help of the Holy Spirit, but there are some things you must do by wisdom and different things, you know, that the Lord will make us do. And then there's some things that some, you know, capability that the Lord put inside of us. And people haven't mastered these things. You know, that's why we panic, but we haven't mastered it. You know, we panic because we don't know that Jesus put the power inside of us. You know, these disciples in Mark chapter 4, they panicked because they didn't know that the Lord already knew that they can handle the storm. The Lord knew that. He's not going to put you through something that he knows you can't handle. You know, he knew they could handle the storm. He knew it was just a storm, you know. But there's a process. You got to go through the storm. You know, it's not every storm you have to rebuke. Yeah. Sometimes you rebuke the son, sometimes you just go through the son. In this particular case, you know, Jesus was just going to go through the storm. Slip through it, actually. You know. But when they came to wake him up through their panic, well, he rebuked the storm, but he also rebuked the disciples because he expected better. Why are you so fearful? He said, why is it that you have no faith? Can't you trust through the process? You know, you don't have to panic just because there is a storm, just because the billows and waves are rolling, the boat, and, you know, up and down. Yeah, you know, where's your faith at? Jesus said, you know, don't you know that, you know, you're going to go through? Isn't that what I said? Let's pass over to the other side. Don't you know that? I mean, yeah, you don't have to rebuke every storm. Some storms, they're just storms, you know. Let the storm do its thing. After a while, it'll be quiet anyway. Well, sometimes you may get offended and you may get angry in your spirit and then rebuke the storm. That's right. You know, you may start out just saying, well, look, okay, well, it's just a storm. And then the thing may get under your skin and aggravate you. You rebuke the storm and tell it, put it in its place. Jesus are giving us all this power, you know. Yeah. Sometimes you take a boat, you know, yeah, that's what you do most of the time. But, you know, sometimes you walk on the water. So what? Make the, you know, he's called the Son of God. Makes him no difference. Boat already left the station. So what? You catch up on the boat, with the boat, walk on the water. Doesn't matter with him. Sometimes he'll take the boat. Sometimes he'll walk on the water. Whatever it is, he put the power. Behold, I give you power, you know, over all the power of the enemy. Over serpents and scorpions, Luke 10 and 19. I mean, if Jesus give us the power over all these things, then why are we not, you know, because, you know, using the power? Because we haven't mastered a process, you know. It's a process. Praise God, you know. Just because, you know, God gave you that power doesn't mean, you know, everything's going to just fall in line. You're going to make them fall in line. They may not fall in line initially. But you're going to make them fall in line. That's right. You know. And when there's a promise, and you're waiting and it doesn't seem to come, well, you pray. You know, get in under that promise and pray. You may see a cloud that looks like the size of a man's hand, but you get in under and begin to pray and pray some more. You know, God already showed you the deluge that's coming, but there's a process you got to go through. Hallelujah. You know, so these are the things I want to share with us today. You are in your process right now. You know, someone said the other day that, you know, while you're in the hallway, you know, and I took it, I translated it myself. I said, well, you know, keep on knocking with your praise. Well, also, you know, you must be believing. All these things work together. You know, the people were not believing. That's why their hearts turned back toward Egypt. They were not believing, you know, the promise was given to take them to the promised land. They were not believing through the process. Everything that came up against them made their hearts to fear and wanted to turn back. You know, and that's why they kept going in circles, because they were not learning what they needed to learn to move forward. They just went around in circles until they all perished. So let's not die in the wilderness. Let's move forward. You know, and, you know, manna in the wilderness is good, but the promised land is better. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And we want to get to that promised land. You're only going to get there through keep on believing. You know, if you doubt along the way, your hearts will go back. You know, so ladies and gentlemen, even the process of getting to sonship, the sons of God, it's a process too. Galatians chapter 4 describes it. He said, look, a child that is an heir, you know, he's a heir of all the kingdom. But when he's a baby, he doesn't even know it. It's a process he has to go through. You know, he doesn't know that he's the prince and he owns everything. He's just a baby, knows nothing. And they have to train him. And he's no better than a servant initially. Actually, a servant may even know more than the baby. You know, but as time goes on, through all the training and all the things that the father puts him through, and the lessons, if eventually we'll figure out that he's a prince. And when he finally figures it out, all the tutors and all the governors and all the martial artists, people that have been training him to fight, the lawyers that have been training him to read and understand the laws of the state, who their enemies are and who their associates are, you know, and so on. I mean, he has to learn all those things. They put him through it. And with a fighting kingdom, they're treating him to fight, teaching him hand-to-hand combat and everything, getting him up early in the morning. You know, sometimes he doesn't have to wake up. He doesn't like to do it, but the king's commandment needs haste. And so his instructors are not going to let him sleep in. You got to get up. The king said so. You know, get him out of there and train him and train and train and train. You know, and put him through all this thing, because the father is looking like he needs to be ready, but he's not ready. And he needs to learn the enemies of the state. He needs to learn the friends of the state. He needs to learn the laws of the land. He needs to learn all these things. He needs to learn how to fight, to defend. You have to teach him certain things, you know. And then one day, the day will come when he'll finally figure out. Once he figures it out, I am the prince. Figure it out. That day he figures it out, he's going to put all those tutors and governors out. He's figured it out now. And he goes up to the father and say, I am the prince. I'll put up all this stuff. You know, and say, yeah, now you're ready. But they put him through a lot of stuff. And then finally he would know it. And so the process, the same thing, the sonship, the same process. You've got to go through. That butterfly has to go through, you know, that stage with the cocoon, you know, from the moth to the cocoon and all that ugly, struggling, back and forth, hanging upside down, trying to get out of that shell. I mean, it's just repugnant and just repulsive, you know. I mean, you just, but painful extraction process that going through. And when you see it, it's ugly and it's painful, but you got to go through that process. You cannot stop that process once it begins. If you stop it, that thing's going to die. And it's been proven. Someone one time tried to stop that process, put his hand and kill that butterfly in the making, because he thought, oh, I was trying to help it. You can't. A process starts, you got to go through the process. So let's go in for the ride. Let's go all in. You know that, you know, that butterfly is coming out of there. You know, but that process of transformation from that cocoon and that ugly stuff to that thing of beauty, it's a painful, painful extraction process. But it's coming out of there. And when it finally comes out of there, you've never seen anything like that. Beautiful thing, full of colors, can float, can fly, you know, and it's just so elegant. But would you know it, that all that stuff came out of all that ugliness and all that, you know, back and forth pain. They go in, they try to come out, it goes in, try to come out, and you can't do it, you know, but he must do it. And hang upside down to do it too. And after a while, eventually that thing comes out of there. Oh my goodness. It's a thing of beauty. But it went through. We call it birth pains. You know, women also go through that. You know, gotta go through those birth pains. It's a process. You know, God, you know, I mean, wouldn't it be great if the Lord just, you know, spoke the word and you were conceived in your stomach because you believed the word? I mean, like Mary, the day she believed the word, that's the day she got conceived, right there on that spot. The word was made flesh, believed it, conceived, but still had to go through the process. You have to bear that child for 9 months. That child's not coming out of there, you know, the next day just because you believe. Yeah, you got to go through the process. And women, some of them, their processes are very, very painful. Some of them go through, you know, extreme pain. Even Jesus recognizes a woman has sorrow because she's pregnant and she knows, you know, the baby is coming, but she can put up with that. She will. And then once she has that man child, you know, she forgets all that pain for joy that a man child is born into the world. But they go through. And so you are going through. And I'm going to pray that God will give you strength to go through. And we're here in this room to encourage you to go through. And every so often I'll come back in this room throughout this month to encourage you that season of rest and restoration is coming, you know, hanging there. Praise God. You got to go through though. You know, if you don't go through, you can come back. You know, if you pick up that jewel as you're climbing those flight of stairs, you drop something, you got to go back and get it. You know, when you get to the next landing, you say, ah, you know, you think you're there. Then you look up and you say, oh my goodness, there's more to climb. That's the kingdom of God for you. You got to keep climbing. You know, there will be a resting period as you get to each of those landing. You know, you just land, you get there, there's a little landing and then the next flight of stairs and then a little landing and then the next flight of stairs. You know, like that. It's like if you take a staircase in a very long story building, you know, they're not going to give you just one flight of stairs to go up 10 stories. You know, you climb to the one, you get to the landing, you may exit or you may keep climbing, you know. And then you climb some more, you get to another landing, well, you may probably exit, there may be some exit, or you may keep climbing, you know, and so on and so forth. You got to keep climbing. But at each of those landings, it's a time of refreshing, you know. And then you pick up something, you want something, another jewel to put in your crown. But it's not over yet. You got to keep going. And so you press on again. And you press on again. And you press on again. And ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has given us the power. We're battle-tested believers. You know, we can go through. We can do this. And you can do it. You know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. By my God, I run through troops. By my God, I leap over walls. I can do this thing. Praise God. You know, you can do it. You know, the tribulation, the distress, the buffeting, the whatever, you know, hey, I can do this because the Lord is with me. That's what Caleb said. That's what Joshua said. Look, while we know there are giants, we saw them just like you did, but you saw the giants, we saw the promised land. Hallelujah. You know, so look, we can take these people. We can do it. We can take them. And they say, well, we can do it too. You know, and the people said, no, we can't. And he said, yes, we can. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. To encourage you, keep on. I'm going to keep hammering these words to us throughout this month. Every so often, I'll come back and remind you that you got to hang in there. It's coming. The words of Habakkuk, he says, you know, I'm going to close with that. That's where we started. I'm going to read it to you again. That vision is yet for an appointed time. It's like the promise. It's yet for an appointed time, but you got to hold on. He said, look, even though it looks like it's tarrying long, he said, well, wait for it. It's coming. It's not going to tarry too long. You know, for the vision, the promise is yet for an appointed time. And at the end, it shall speak. So at the end, but at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. The word of God is true. It will not lie. And though it tarry, wait for it. Believe through the process. Because it will surely come. Glory to God. It will not tarry. The rest that God has promised you is coming. The emerging that God has promised us is coming. The experience of Corner Leap is coming. And you got to put all these messages together. Like, be still and know that I am God. You got to put it together in a place of rest. Calmness. That's when you get to experience and know the power of God. But you got to keep believing through the process. And it is coming. And the Lord will strengthen you through the process. He will not allow it to be too overbearing. Because he promised that already. There will be no testing or trial that will be greater than your strength. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. But he already giving you the power, you know, through it. Praise God. Now I'm going to pray over the room. I pray that these words encourage you to go through today, go through every day while you are in the corridor and the hallway, you know, keep knocking through your praises. Keep waiting with believing and don't draw back. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We are then that believe unto the saving of the soul, believe unto the inheriting of the promise. Gotta believe till the end, until you see it. Praise God. Don't you ever quit now. We've spoken before about quitting. Quitting is, you know, the real failure. It's when you quit. You know, as long as you keep moving forward, you haven't failed yet. You've learned that it didn't work, but you know, you learned something. But you keep on believing. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's in here today that have listened to these words of encouragement. The Bible says, as we see the day approaching, we remind one another. Keep on reminding one another. Keep on reminding one another in the name of Jesus. And I pray for grace. I pray for strength. I pray for encouragement. Everyone that's going through, he that put his hands on the plow, the scripture says, you know, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 9, you know, and verse 62. When you put your hands on the plow, don't look back now. You know, don't give up. Your hands, let your hands remain on the plow, saith the Lord. Huh? Don't look back and don't give in. And if you look back and say you are not fit for the kingdom, so your hands are now on the plow. And I say unto you, as even as it is written, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid this foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, the building thereof. Now, your hands that the Lord caused you to place upon the plow, started on its journey, your hands will also finish it in Jesus' name. You're not going to look back. Because you are fit for the kingdom. You are prepared for a time and a place. And this very moment, you know, God has been preparing you for this season. Hallelujah. And something beautiful is just around the corner. Just around the corner for you in Jesus' name. Lord bless everyone and listen in this morning. And God bless everyone that will listen to the replays as well. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.